On this episode of Course Agility, I'm wrapping up 2022. So I'm recording this actually on New Year's Eve, and my intent is to actually push it out to my listeners this final day of 2022. And maybe you have Spotify, maybe you don't, but Spotify has this thing where at the end of the year, they give you your year wrapped. And Spotify also owns the Anchor podcast system that I use. So they also go into this wrapped thing. So on Spotify, like, it gives you wrapped, which is like the songs you most listen to, things like that. I don't know if it includes podcasts or not. It might. But they send you, you know, what you did on Spotify within, you know, the year 2022. Of course, they always give it to you like two, three weeks before the end of the year. And so Anchor does the same thing. They give you your wrapped for the podcast. So I thought I'd share. And mind you, I realize that this year has not been, I have not put out a lot of content this year. So, but we'll review the little key highlights that they sent me for 2022 here. So the first thing they said is I created 184 minutes of content. So I guess that's how many minutes my episodes were up until now. This episode will be the third season, episode 6, to finish up 2022. So I've only really had 5 episodes this year. My top 3 episodes, and these totally make sense to me because they're the ones that, to some extent, make sense. My number one was, of course, Marcy Maddies, who I had early in the year, and she was the number one episode, which makes sense because I had a guest. I think she may have been my only guest that I had this year because then I just kind of dropped off a bit. Number two was the episode that I recorded about my memories of Nadia, all the good times I had going to NADAC fundraisers up at Nadia's, in, I'm going to forget the name of the town, Kilowog, New York. And then the number three episode was my Crazy Times episode where I talked about going to a trial and then coming down with COVID. It wasn't from the trial, though. I'm sure I didn't get COVID at the trial. Anyway, so that was an episode that I talked about myself getting COVID. And then they highlighted for me that my podcast, and this gets me because I don't understand the internet and what might generate this type of statistic. But according to what they told me, my podcast has been listened to in 8 different countries, which, okay, I guess maybe people are searching for things around the world, or maybe it's robots or crawlers or something. I don't know what's generating that. But anyway, here's the top countries. So, of course, number one is USA. But surprisingly, the next two don't totally make sense to me. The next number two country is supposedly Norway. The number three country is supposedly Finland. And number four makes sense to me. It's Canada. Now, I know I have some people in Canada that listen to the podcast. NADAC is an American, Canadian, Australian. It's in a number, you know, NADAC is known in a few countries. So Canada makes complete sense to me. But Canada was number four. And number five is Ireland. So, top of the morning to you. And I wish all my Irish friends a nice day and have a Guinness for me. So, I don't know why Ireland is number five. And I don't even, they didn't give me the last three, so who knows. I probably could search online and find it somewhere. But That's what they told me. And then the best week or the best date range I had was from March 20th to the 26th. I imagine, and I didn't check back, but I think that might have been after I released the episode with Marcy Maddies, maybe, that generated a lot of interest. So that's my guess on why that week they highlighted was a special week for the podcast. Then they categorized my listeners as enthusiasts, the enthusiasts, which I guess means that the people who listen to the podcast, the people who tend to listen to the podcast, tend to listen to more than one episode, and perhaps they follow the podcast, which I encourage everyone to follow the podcast. That's actually pretty important right now, where I'm not necessarily sending out a podcast all the time. So if you want to follow me, you at least hear the podcast when it comes out and when I push one out. And the final little factoid they gave me in the Wrapped was that I had 26% more followers this year than I did last year. So thank you to all the new people who have followed the podcast. Thank you to all the older people who've been following me from the beginning. Without people listening, I wouldn't do the podcast. So I'm going to take a little quick break, go off to another subject here, and I'll be right back. I'm back, and in this little segment here, I'm going to talk a little bit about Trace, my dog, my beagle. I'm going to talk a little about my sister's dog, Belle, and her beagle puppy, Violet. So in my last episode, the fifth episode of the year, that was probably a few months ago that I recorded, I talked about frustration and joy. And the frustration involves my guy, Trace. Last year, I kind of stopped doing agility, I guess it was in June, because Trace, or was it August? Did I go to a trial in August? Can't remember. Have to look back. But Trace was limping. He had a limp when I would be at class, and he started to limp at trials. And obviously, you don't want a dog limping. I talked about all this in the frustration and joy. But so in August, September, October, and the beginning of November, I was going regularly. I think in the beginning, I was going once a week. And then maybe October and November, I went every other week. I was going to physical therapy with him, and he was getting laser therapy on his shoulder and, you know, his other, they pretty much laser therapy a bunch of his joints. And then they would do some exercises, which I think I had described, you know, walking on the bones and wobbly boards and things like that. So the physical therapist would make him do things on the on these things to exercise his stability and his joints and motion. And I never got a diagnosis. I never really chased down a diagnosis with my vet or anything. The physical therapist just was calling it a wobbly shoulder. And then after the therapy, the laser therapy, and then the exercises, he would go into the water tank and he would walk. And in the beginning, I think we were doing maybe 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, but there would be a gap in between. I can't remember where we started. But like the last time I went, I think he did 25 minutes, no break. He just went in there, he walked for 25 minutes in the water, And, you know, the first time I ever went to the aqua tank, I was like, wow, I don't know if he's going to like this because, you know, beagles aren't necessarily water dogs. But he didn't seem to mind it. And in the beginning, I gave him a lot of treats to keep him going. But as I kept going, I kind of was like, I can't give him so many treats because he is overweight. Hasn't changed. And so, you know, he would walk and occasionally, like, I would give him one treat, like, I got to the point where I'd give him a treat, like, every 2 minutes or so when he was in the tank walking. So, you know, he was in there for, you know, toward the end, he was going 25 minutes solid. And I would give him a treat like every 2 minutes. But I mean, I'm talking like a little tiny piece of pepperoni. It wasn't anything too big. So he seemed to be getting better. And then at the end of the year, I've had some personal things. I'll just say I had some elective surgery. Perhaps I'll go into it in an episode in the future. But so that's why I had my surgery in November, and I didn't want to, you know, be going to the therapy. I was going to have a lifting restriction for a while, so I just didn't want to have the hassle of taking them out to the... So we stopped doing the therapy at November. And then, for a while, you know, he was just getting short walks with me, getting my exercise. And... But now my routine's a little bit more back to normal, and I'm going over to my sister's house more often. And when on the very occasional day that I decide to go into my actual office, because I'm resistant to return to office still, but we're being pushed. That's an aside. We're being pushed a little to get back two days a week. So that might have to happen next year. But anyway, so on occasion he's been left, you know, I leave him with my sister who does work from home, and she's always worked from home, except during the pandemic when she got let go or furloughed. So I leave her with my sister, and my sister has Belle, her 9-year-old beagle, and she's got Violet, which I think she's 7 months old. Yeah, she's about 7 months old. She'll be eight months old in January. So my sister she's still a chewer and a puppy and gets into stuff. So my sister has to pretty much keep her crated while she's working, or else there would be trouble. There would be costs to pay. And, but then she goes out on breaks, you know, she takes, I don't know, she definitely gets a morning break, lunch break, afternoon break. So she you know, the beagles all get 3 or 4 times where they get to go out into her backyard and run around a bit. And when I go over occasionally to see her, I'll go in the backyard with my boy Trace. And the point I'm getting to here is that Trace will... Belle being 9 years old, she is starting to slow down. She'll play. She'll play with the puppy some. Like, maybe she'll tug on a toy. They'll tug toys and stuff. But my boy Trace, he will really run with her. And Violet, at this point, I think all beagles tend to like to run around a lot when they're young. And then sometimes they lose that. That's my experience with beagles. They don't tend to run around as much. But Trace and Violet love to run around, so he plays with her real well, and sometimes he's chasing Violet, sometimes Violet's chasing her, and I mean, they're running pretty good pace, and I see Trace cutting pretty good turns and all this, and I see no indication that he currently has any issue with his shoulder. Now, I mean, he's not going over jumps. We do have an A-frame in the backyard. It's set, you know, pretty low. Maybe it's at 4 feet high. And this is probably not a good idea, but it is the case. Occasionally, even the puppy goes running over the A-frame, and Trace goes running over the A-frame. And even Belle goes over the A-frame now and then. So we could, I guess, take it down, but And nobody's gotten hurt doing it. And they're pretty good about running all the way down to the bottom and not jumping off the sides and stuff. So maybe Violet's getting some A-frame training based on how Trace knows to do it. That's my hope, at least. But who knows what Violet will end up doing. And like I said, Belle's slowing down, so her agility career may be over. I think my sister, like, we do go to a trial and we go camping there or something, she might try entering her in maybe early day runs and see. But I'm so suspecting, and I know my sister's okay with it, that Belle at 9 years old might be a retired agility dog. And it's kind of strange because my first Beagle, Dino, he really almost came into his own around 9 and 10. I can't remember now when I retired him, maybe at 11, I think it was. But he really still, you know, liked doing agility when he was 9. And he, you know, I always had some issues with him coming up to full speed, but he did okay. He did okay. So I don't know. And my sister has gone to the vet. They've had Lyme tests. They've had x-rays. So the good news is there's nothing that the vet sees. She's healthy based on all the things that have been done. She's just slowed down. So, you know, aging of people, aging of dogs, there's no golden rules there. Every dog, every person is different. But the good thing is Violet, and Belle, let me say, Belle still is going off and doing her, my sister still does the therapy visits with her. So Belle is still, you know, she's still got an activity. She goes, and she loves people, and she loves getting pets. So, like, even when we're walking somewhere, somebody comes over, can we pet your dog? My sister will always take Belle over because Belle is not going to, you know, and like the puppy is way too rambunctious to meet people. And when she does, my sister's always like, you know, she's going to jump on you. And she does. She's still a puppy. There's some work to be done, but it's not my dog. And I never was that good about getting Dino and Trace to not jump on people. I never claimed to be the best trainer. I'm okay in agility, but I'm not the best trainer. Anyway, so that's pretty much the update on my dog. The thought right now I have is that next year I will try agility again. Not sure when I will do that. I know generally the first trial for this area of NADAC that my sister and I have gone to in the past is Skyline. But that's in March and it's often cold. So whether I do it or not, I don't know. It's a little up in the air. And I really haven't been, going to classes or anything. So literally, Trace has not done any real agility, any obstacles or anything in a long time. So might want to maybe try to go to a class or something and see if he still hasn't. And see if, you know, if he starts doing jumps, whether he ends up limping, because then it would just kill the whole thing. But I have hope right now. I have hope that I might be able to return to doing some agility this year. And I really hope that, like, in May, I can go down to the end zone and maybe attend the Lisa Schmidt usually has a seminar, which I haven't heard anything about. I'll probably have to email her just to double check. But it's still early. But I would like to do that with him, hopefully, and see how he does. Because that's always fun, whether we keep doing agility or not. But it would be good. I'm hoping. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that this long break from agility and from doing, you know, jumps and all that has vanquished whatever issue was in his shoulder. But if not, you know, I'm okay. I mean, I'm okay with not doing agility if that ends up being the case. So that kind of wraps up this little segment about my dogs, a little bit on my sister's dogs. I'm going to take another quick break, and then I'm just going to talk a little bit about what I possibly see the podcast doing next year in 2023. In my final segment here, I think I'm going to talk about 2023. First, I want to wish all my listeners a happy, healthy new year. I wish you all the best for you, your families, your dogs, your agility aspirations in the year 2023. As to the podcast, at this point in time, I would like to continue it for a fourth season. Hopefully, I can do a few more episodes than I did in 2023, but we'll see. I would like to try to reach out and have some guests, because the guests are fun for me, and I know that that is why many of you are following the podcast. You want to hear your fellow agility handlers talk about themselves and their dogs. It's fun to listen to that, other people's stories. But also, I may just end up doing some topicals, like this year, except for Marcy Maddie's, pretty much every episode that I did was kind of topical about my dogs or something else. So I don't know what I'll end up doing, but I do know that typically NADAC makes changes at the beginning of the years. I haven't heard anything, and I've been not that involved lately. Actually, and I'll mention this, probably a lot of you know it, you probably already are there. Like the NADAC forum, the old forum had been changed into a new forum, and now they're on a third forum. I actually have still yet to sign up for that new forum, so I need to go and get on the latest and greatest NADAC forum, I guess. I wasn't super happy with the second version of the forum. I really did like the original kind of old school forum. But in this world of, you know, social media and Facebook, the second version of the forum was a little bit more social media-like, a little bit. But it just didn't always work so well, I didn't think. It was hard to find things, and topics weren't clearly delineated like in the old forum. Anyway, that's just my thoughts. So I got to go try the new forum. I haven't even tried it yet, and I think they announced it 2 months ago. So as I said, I've had some things going on, so I haven't been doing as much following of NADAC as I did. But typically, I do know there's a bunch of NADAC news in the beginning of the year. They come out with changes. Eventually, they'll have their top 10 of the dogs and the classes and all that, which I usually talk about. Sometimes I list people out, and sometimes I don't. But we'll see. So I do know that's probably coming, and I'm sure I'll want to go look at some of that stuff, and I probably want to talk a little bit about it. And then hopefully I do get back to doing agility myself this year. We shall see. Still a lot of things up in the air with my dog, Trace, but I miss seeing the people at agility trials, and I miss doing it. I miss that teamwork with my dog. So I'm hoping I can get back to that. I think that is going to wrap this one up. I just wanted to come to everyone quickly at the end of the year to, as I said, wrap up the year 2022. I hope I can bring a little bit more content in 2023. I will see. 2023 also is a year where Champs is on this side of the country. I believe it's going back to Springfield, Ohio again this year. Don't know, since Bell is not likely, is very unlikely to be competing again. Don't know if we would have a dog, so I don't know if we would go or not. We might. It's a fun event. I could see going, but then again, maybe not. I'd love it if I could get Trace in into pre-elite, but I have my doubts that we would technically qualify. But there is the chance, second chance entry or something. Maybe we could get in. You never know. But time will tell. We'll see what happens in 2023. And as I said, I wish all of you the best. And I wish everyone happy trialing.